Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about God not being dead. That was a good song.
Yeah, that's great, man. And we're going to be talking about the three keys to the kingdom. And it was Chuck's pick this week, and he's going to get ready to open this up, start talking about three keys to the kingdom. And one of the keys was prayer. I think the second key was reading the Word of God. And the third key was fasting. And I know all those are very important to the Christian, you know, life. You know, you need to keep that communication up with the Lord and, you know, build that relationship up. And you do need to know what the Lord said, or you'll know what, you know, how to follow the Lord. And you do need to keep your body clean, and fasting helps that and builds the connection between you and the Lord. It helps clean your body where you be a good vessel, you know, between you and the Lord. And, you know, all that's very, very important, I think, in a Christian's life. And, it's give and take. You know, some of us is better at some and worse at other, you know, points there. But it's good to try to touch on all three of them. And Chuck, what do you think about all this, these three keys?
Well, I mean, you were hitting right on it, man. This all started with me when I got to go on a missions trip to Belize in the fall. And, you know, we were down there doing our thing. We were doing a prophetic conference, and we were teaching people about the prophetic and how to be prophetic and how to flow in the prophetic. And when it was all over with, my apostle looked at me, or, you know, they just invited me to, everybody was tired. It was 115 degrees every day, and everything was outdoors, and they were all like, "Hey, Chuck, you want to preach the last night?" I was like, "Sure, that'd be an honor." You know, he's planted a church down there, and he gave me the opportunity to do it. And when I started seeking the Lord about what to do, he really started talking to me about foundations again. And I think we get, because I get to run with a lot of people. I get to run with the power evangelist and the prophetic people and the apostolic people and evangelist and all kind of stuff. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in our schools of thought, we really get away from the basics and get away from foundation, because we can't build on prophetic and we can't build on the power of God and we can't build on those teachings unless people have a firm foundation and are able to then carry, you know, to build upon. Buildings go up. So that's really why this thing kind of came to my head, you know.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's, you know, when you're out and you're, you know, trying to think about prophecy, that's one of the biggest things. You know, Daniel, he was one of the famous prophets in the Word of God, and that's what he did. He fasted a lot. You know, he was a vegetarian. He didn't eat what the king ate. He ate, you know, what the Word of God led him to eat, and kept his body a pure vessel. And, you know, that has a lot to do with, you know, watching what you eat, you know, eating, you know, a vegetarian diet, and, you know, not pouring junk into your body. And I know the king, you know, back in those days, they would eat meat. They would eat anything that they could, you know, they could feast on. And a lot of times it was a lot of alcohol and meat and all type of different type of things. And, you know, and a lot of the, you know, a lot of the home servants would eat what the king ate. And they would get weak and get sick. And if the king would get sick, they would get sick. And it's just, they was overindulgence in food. But, you know, what we saw, the way Daniel did, he kept to his lifestyle, to his Jewish lifestyle, and eat a vegetarian diet. He stayed healthier than most of the people in the castle. And plus, he was a great prophet when it came to, you know, knowing about the dreams, predicting through dreams and all that stuff. He was the go-to man. But he had a real clear channel, you know, to the Lord. And he kept that clear channel by keeping the temple up. You know, back in those days, you know, the body wasn't the temple as it is now, because now we house the Holy Spirit. Back then, the Holy Spirit landed on them. It didn't actually, you know, live inside of them like it does us now through Jesus Christ. And but anyway, he kept his body as a pure vessel that the Lord could use. And today, as us being a temple now, you know, it's, you know, very important to keep that body clean, you know, keep all the sodas and all the stuff. You know, nowadays, you know, America, we put a lot of stuff in our bodies, candy, junk food and all that stuff. And it kind of, you know, downgrades your body and knocks it down where it's not, you know, very, you know, open to the Lord. I mean, your mind is, but it's clouded with all these chemicals we got in our foods. And, you know, all of our foods have more chemicals than they did back in the old days. Back in the old days, they had no chemicals. They didn't have bug sprays and all these chemicals to purify the food to put into your body. But at the last point of that, all that food with all those chemicals goes right into your body, and chemicals go right into your body, and it clogs all your sensories and all that stuff in your body, and you're not a good, you know, you're not a good vessel as you could be. And when you fast and you drink, you know, your water, and you keep this stuff out of you, and the body turns into like a organism that's cleansing itself. You know, once the body quits eating food, it turns on itself and it starts eating all the grime and stuff inside of it. It starts turning on itself and it starts eating all this stuff up, all the germs, all the stuff that's in your body. It starts eating that up, and all these different chemicals you put in your body, it starts taking that out too, and the water helps it too. Helps keep, you know, moisture in your body. But I mean, I could go in this all day because you study about some of this stuff. But it's awesome how the body can purify itself. And I've even noticed, you know, some people that does fast, when they start fasting, they start seeing their teeth turn solid white. Their eyes, around their eyes starts turning solid white, whiter than it's ever been. You start seeing your fingernails grow. You start seeing them turn white. Your skin starts, you know, if you've had any skin problems, that starts fading away. It starts eating all that stuff up. It starts purifying and opening, you know, your body to be more pure, that the voice of the Lord can work through. And it's, you know, it's a very, very spiritual thing that you can do when you fast. I mean, it really opens you up. But, you know, as I will say, fast for all the right reasons. And if you're fasting for the right reasons and praying, adding prayer to that fast, you open a barrier or a barrier to the kingdom that is very strong, and you can hear the Lord very clear, can't you, Chuck?
Yeah, man, you were just going right where I was thinking about going, because there's all the natural things that fasting does to your body. And but the one thing I've always learned, and my spiritual father is one of the ones who taught me this, was, and if you've ever fasted, this will become very plain to you, how when you're fasting, you literally learn to tell your flesh no. Like, you're starving. Now, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm the type of guy that fasts food, okay? Because when I go to fast and I stop eating food, God knows I'm serious. I know a lot of people choose different fasts, and they choose way to fast. A lot of people choose to fast and not really fast at the same time. I mean, I don't know how they do that, but what you learn, what your body does and your spirit does, your mind does, your soul, it actually, you're constantly telling your flesh, no, no, I'm not going to eat. I know you're hungry, but no, no, no. And so in that, you're suppressing your flesh to the point your spirit starts to get stronger and you can really hear the voice of the Lord a lot clearer. I mean, when you look back through a lot of the old patriarchs in the Old Testament, even Jesus himself in the New Testament and the disciples, when they fasted, what God was telling them became very clear. You know, so you have to use, like you said, you have to use fasting in the right sense, because even the Pharisees themselves fasted, because Jesus told a story one time about a Pharisee who looked at a poor guy down who was beating his chest saying, I'm nothing but a sinner, and he said, thank God I'm not like him. I fast 3 days a week, and I've memorized the Torah, and I've done all that stuff. You can do it with the wrong heart, and you can do it for the wrong reason. So it's very important when I talk about three keys, I want people to understand there's a lifestyle of fasting that's out there, and you have to get into some of the old school people who've come up, Smith Wigglesworth and the David Hogans and John G. Lakes, and these people who were quote-unquote rock stars of their day, but they were men who fasted. They were men who lived a lifestyle of fasting. It wasn't just the typical church fast for 40 days in January. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's good, but when July and August roll around and your fast is wore off, the devil's kicking your brains in. So the spiritual aspect has to come in where you live a lifestyle of fasting, where you have to, you know, I know people who do some extreme fasting, and I'm not suggesting those things, but to just be a person who fasts maybe one day a month or one meal a week, or just pick something where you're crucifying your flesh to the point where you're keeping it, where you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak, because that's got to come more important than what we're hearing. Because if you watch Christian TV and you're not fasting, you're going to pick up on some strange stuff. And if your body's not into the place where you're hearing what the Spirit's saying and what a man's saying, then you're going to get crossed up in all these doctrines and all this crazy stuff. So I know there's a natural aspect to fat. Hey, if you fast, you're going to lose weight. Hey, that's a plus in itself for some people like me, you know what I'm saying? But it's not, you don't do it for those reasons. You do it because you're saying, okay, God, I want to live in a place where I can hear your voice and I can tune everything else out. And so that's, to me, that's really what fasting has to become in the body of Christ right now.
Amen. And, you know, one thing I do tell people when they fast is when you do break off that fast, be careful how you eat, because you will gain more weight than what you did have. You know, be very careful when you do that. And, you know, sometimes if you're going to do a very long one, you know, check medically with your doctor sometimes, you know, and go with it like that. But, you know, when you go with it, the best way to stick to it is start a little at a time. Like if you never fasted before, don't go ahead and hit 40 days. You know, you're going to have a very hard time. You know, start a day, a month, and work your way up. I mean, that's what I've done myself, is just work one day of a month or something like that. And it's just, you know, gradually get into it. Now, if the Lord has really came down on you and said, hey, fast a week, he will back you and he will control your body where you won't go crazy. And that's, I've heard a lot of prophets and a lot of prophets, prophetic friends has told me, if the Lord is backing you on this fast, your body will be controlled. But if he's not backing you, you're gonna be dealing with some things that you got to learn how to. But a lot of times when the Lord has you to fast, there's a reason why he has you to fast, because there's something going on with your body that your channels is not corrected towards him, and he's having a hard time communicating, so he'll automatically tell you to fast where he can communicate better through you. He might be speaking to you, and you're not hearing anything. And it might be something very, very important. I'm really feeling there's somebody out there right now that the Lord has been speaking to, and you have put a lot of stuff in your body that he can't, that is clogging all the channels, and I think he wants you to fast. This person I'm talking to, he wants you to fast, and he's been trying to get to you, but you can't hear him, or there's reasons there, and he will support you on a fast. It could be a 10-day, whatever. Just pray on this, but he wants you to fast. Anyway, that's what the Lord was giving me for somebody. But anyway, you know, when the Lord does help you and he does support you on a fast, it goes a lot easier because he controls everything. And I know Doug Perry, one of my friends here that's been on this show, he says, when the Lord would back him on a fast, he would have no problems controlling his hunger and all that stuff. It was like the Lord would control it all, and he would go through it easily. Then one day that he just decided to fast, his body went crazy. He was starving. His stomach was acting up. He was like, Lord, Lord, why am I going crazy through this? He said, because I didn't tell you to fast. Okay, I didn't tell you to fast. He said, you decided to do this on your own, so you was on your own through this. So if the Lord is, and I ain't telling you that the Lord is always saying for, you know, you have to fast all the time or don't do it because you heard his great voice. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if the Lord does point you to fast, it goes smoother. But if you're wanting to do that for more of a spiritual opening or something like that, do a day a week or you know, gradually get yourself into it. And it's not always water fasting. You can miss a meal. You can, you know, you can cut out cheeseburgers for a week or cut out coffee for a week. I mean, you can do different things. And it really depends on you and what the Lord has guided you. What do you think about that, Chuck?
Yeah, when I first started fasting, I kind of went along those lines, you know, just trying to do stuff to break yourself into it. But the thing that wrecked me the most is I met this dude named David Hogan, who does, he fasts like 8 months out of the year. He will start on a 40-day fast, and then he fasts every other day. And so the only reason I say, when you get into that extreme fast, and these people don't do it for any other reason, but they're really hungry for God. And now David Hogan's raised 33 people from the dead. So when he talks about fasting, he's a little bit more on the side of quit eating everything and go down. He'll do days without even water. Like he'll do 10 or 15 days without nothing, no water, no food. But he's at a place in his life, like you said, like God protects him in that. Like he's done some stuff that I don't know how he didn't die or how he didn't get totally sick or, you know, just his body just go into some kind of meltdown or shock. And these people live that extreme lifestyle, but they also walk in a power that people are hungry for. I mean, the dude's raising the dead. His ministry has seen almost 600 people raised from the dead. He's taught people how to raise the dead. So, you know, he's seen every miracle on the planet. Like, he's talked about how a foot grew in a doctor's hand one time, and the doctor cut the foot off the dude. I mean, when you get into stuff like that, you have to listen to what these people are saying. But they'll tell you, you don't fast for the miracles. You fast because you're just hungry for God. So I think it was important that you said that. It's got to be the reason why you do it and behind what you're doing. And it's got to be, you know, even when we start talking about the other two keys, prayer and Bible reading, you don't do those things because you're trying to get something from God. You do those things because, you know, God gave Jesus, and so you give those things just trying to learn him and know him and become intimate with him. And fasting is one of those things that everybody does it different. Everybody does it a different way. Some people are super major, extreme with it. Some people are real passive and, you know, do casual fast and things like that. At the end of the day, it's what your heart's after, where your heart's aimed for. And I've known people who God's told them to fast, and I know people who fast whether God tells them to or not. So really it becomes a relationship with God, and out of that you have to live in a place, and that's where your fasting lifestyle will come from.
Amen, amen. And I know FBI Art, Firm Believers in Christ, he has that ministry in California. He went on a 40-day fast, and I'm just waiting to see how that went. And my understanding is that he had his doctors helping with him. He's 80 years old. He's the 80-year-old man doing a 40-day fast, and he went through every one of them. He went through every one of them. And he thought his hair was white to begin with. It was really white when he got done that daggum fast, though. And he went through it. Power of God, you know, is really moving through him. I think he went through a purification process because one of his big things is deliverance. He does a lot of deliverance in his healing ministry. And I think he did that for extra boost. And I'm pretty sure that the Lord most likely guided him to that. I was wanting to know more information. I've got to talk to him and stuff. I ain't been able to get a hold of him. But it was really unique how he did that and being at his age and how he made it through it. He's a very healthy guy, too. So, you know, his body was up to it. So, you know, I know a lot of people that went through these fasts. Now, I'm not saying I've did that myself, but I know a lot of people that went through some of them big ones, and they say it's well worth it. It really builds that connection up. It really clears you out where you can have a connection that you want. I know another friend of mine that fasted for a long time, and he was doing street ministry, and he was like, I'll never eat again. He said that, you know, the power was really coming through him. He saw a lot more miracles, and it was a lot more stronger connection there when he was doing that. He felt closer to the Lord because a lot of the lifestyle that he had with junk food and all that stuff was completely cut out. And you'll actually see, when you're going through this, you will actually see what these foods do to your body that you never noticed before. And you'll start seeing all these chemicals start fade away, and you start feeling that connection to the Lord. And sometimes you'll feel the anointing on you that you never felt before because you couldn't feel it because your body was so polluted. you'd be like, Lord, the Lord's been with me the whole time. I just didn't know it because I was, you know, so full of this stuff. So you start feeling this stuff a lot stronger than what you have before. If you move in anointing, if you move in healing prayer and all that, it jumps it up. And I'm not telling you to fast just to see how powerful you can get. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that you see how God is really working through you that you really never knew because your body was just polluted up with all the stuff that we eat today. It just, you know, it numbs it down where you don't feel that anymore. You don't have that stuff, you know, you don't really feel, you know, the ookiness that you had before. You just feel more clean and more clearer than you was before. And it's just, there's a lot of health benefits to it, and there's a lot of spiritual benefits to it. And, you know, if you try it, you know, it'll really help you. And that's one of the biggest things. And if you don't, you know, that's you. But is there just one of the things that we really feel that will bring you closer to God and open God up more in you by doing this? And let's go ahead and move to prayer. Now, what does prayer mean to you, Chuck?
Well, I mean, to me, prayer is the most important thing. Because Jesus, if you look at Jesus' lifestyle, Jesus was a man of prayer and fasting. Now, you know, we'll talk about Bible reading later. They didn't really have a Bible back then, so it's hard to kind of have a scale for that. But Jesus was a man of prayer. I mean, you got to look at Jesus' life, how he spent 30 years and nobody knew who he was. And then he shows up on the scene knowing he's only got like three and a half years to do his mission. And Jesus would disappear. He'd be up on a mountain. He'd send the disciples off. He'd be up on a mountain praying, and they'd be looking for him. I mean, you know, they'd be like, where'd Jesus go? And Jesus is somewhere in prayer. Now, I do want to say this about prayer. I think a lot of times we get so self-centered in prayer that God really can't do anything with our prayers. And what I mean by that is I pick at people, but I lived it, man. I'm telling you, I lived this type of prayer lifestyle where it's, Lord, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have, and I won't do it again, and can you help me with this, and can you help me with that? And it was all centered on me, things I needed, stuff I screwed up, stuff I messed up, knowing I shouldn't have done something or said something, and it becomes about us, and if I had a conversation with my wife that way, we wouldn't have good conversations. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I think our prayer life, it's the same thing as fasting. And your heart's got to be in the right position. Your heart's, it's got to be for the right reason. When you pray, it should be praying to get to know God. Jesus even said himself, what's done in secret will come out in public. Jesus was so sick, his prayer life, the secretness of his prayer life came out in public. And he was a powerful man. He never missed it. He healed everything. If it was a sickness, he just killed it. I mean, you know, but he went and he prayed to the Father. John 17 is a good model prayer because the entire chapter is Jesus praying to the Father about his disciples. It was selfless. It was about other people. It was about him and God. You know, he would pray stuff like, God, I pray you make them one like me and you are one. Those are the type of prayers he would have. So the one thing that changed my life when God kind of put pressure on me for a different type lifestyle in prayer, I really started just thanking God for stuff and quit doing all this whining and just crying and moaning and how bad life is and how much I've screwed it up and, Lord, I won't do it again, to a real communication with God, just being thankful for all that he has already done. And if he never does anything again, then he's still worth me thanking him for everything that he's already done. I mean, you know, so it's a real hard position for people to just get in the secret place. That's what Jesus called it in Matthew 6, to get in the secret place. It's called a prayer closet. It's a place where you and God get by yourself and you and God commune. And you have to really study the scripture. There's all kind of prayer that's out there. There's intercession. And, you know, there's meditation is actually biblical. I know the monks and the Shaolin monks and all those people have stolen the meditation thing, but really it's a process where you just quiet your soul and you listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to, you know, the Bible says that his thoughts for us are more than the sand of the seashore. Let him tell you some of the things he thinks about you. And let him guide your life. The steps of the righteous are ordered of God. You've got to hear those things in prayer. And so we just have to become a people who are focused in prayer on just blessing on God, loving on God, making it more, this is a touchy word, but making it more about intimacy instead of a punch list you're trying to get out of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You don't, you know, there's two ways with that, because some people are scared to ask God for things because they think they're being selfish, and there's some people, the only thing they do is ask God for stuff. So it can go either way. If you're a person that's scared to ask God for stuff, don't be scared. Ask him for some things. And if you're a person that only thing you do is whine to God about things, add some other people to your prayer and see what happens. And God is your Father. And as you would talk to your Father, you know, speak to him. There are some people who speak to their Father pretty bad. So this is your Heavenly Father that you're speaking to. So when it created the universe, speak to him in that manner. But anyway, you know, don't be scared. Make him your friend. Spend time with him. The Lord didn't sit there and memorize 20 prayers and talk to God. He didn't do that. He spoke to him as his own Father. You know, all through scriptures, he's speaking to the Father as he was his own physical Father. He would speak to him like, you know, he would just speak different things to him, like, Father, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Don't look upon them in any bad way. Ain't exactly what he said, but he said it in that manner. And it's just, you know, then he looked up to the sky and said, Father, let your glory be known. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, the lightning came down. It's like he had a one-on-one with God. He had that connection with God that God knew everything that he was saying. He knew what he was thinking. God knew everything. And there are some people said when he would go up on the mountain that he would pray to the Father. And then when everybody was asleep, he stayed there for hours. A lot of people believe that he was up there hearing from the Father, and he was telling him what to do from day to day, just giving him, you know, book notes. Hey, there's going to be a guy at the castle. You know, go to him. He needs prayer. And just telling him where to go different places. And I'm sure God, you know, the Lord had that communication with the Father like that he was just telling him what to do and just taking notes. I mean, it was just things the Father was telling him, because if you really think about it, Christ didn't have long down here. He had a lot to get done in that short of time. And I'm sure the Father had him to do a lot of things while he was here. So, you know, he was really pounding a lot of duties to him, say, hey, you need to go here. You know, a lot of things to do. He had a lot of things he had to teach the disciples before he left. So he was really trying to get a lot to them while he was here. And the Father had him teaching them a lot. So, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why he spent all that time with the Father. And just as we are sons and daughters through Christ to the Father now, you know, when you spend that time with the Father, you're spending that time with your daddy, like Christ did. You're spending time with your daddy. And you need to respect that time like it's time with your father. And when you look at that like that, that's what's going to change your life around, because you have a communication. Christ wants you to have a communication with the Father as he did. He says that in the Word. He wants us, he prayed like Chuck just said, he prayed for us, the disciples, and everybody to have a connection to the Father as he did, which we do if we know what to do, if we have that, build that relationship up. You know, once you build that relationship up, you can have that connection. There's people that has that connection kind of like Christ. I ain't going to say just like, but kind of like Christ. But it's that relationship. It's knowing the Father, knowing what he says to us, knowing how he directs us, all that type of thing. That's prayer. Some people think prayer is just, you know, now lay me down to sleep, or Lord, please help me with my bills, or Lord, heal my mom, or something. No, it's a little bit more to that. It's your connection with the Father and with the Lord Jesus. And that connection with the Lord Jesus, it's going to change your life. It's going to transform you, because the more you talk, the more you have a communication, the more His glory grows on you, the more you start being like that person you talk to all the time. Now, if you talk to the wrong person all the time, you start looking like that person. If you're talking to the right person all the time, you start looking like them. So just think, if you build that relationship up with the Father, what you're going to start looking like. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, you were just hitting on the nail. When you said that, I thought about, you know, Moses would go up on the mountain and just talk to God for days, like 40 days. Like, he'd disappear, and they'd say, well, he ain't never coming back. Let's go figure something else out. But when he would come down, his face would shine with the glory. And he was up there talking to God. You know, so, and Jesus is known right now that it says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Jesus is in heaven praying for us right now. You know, so prayer's just an important key. And something happened to me about a month ago, and it really changed even my focus in prayer. You know, I got to go to California and go to a conference. Well, I got lucky enough, I got to go to the Bonnie Bray House. Now, if you're not a revival person, you're not going to know what that is. But long story short, the Azusa Street Revival happened because William Seymour and his cohorts were on a street called Bonnie Bray Street in Los Angeles, California, in a house, and they just prayed. Now, extreme praying. They prayed 7 hours a day. 7 hours a day, and they weren't looking for anything. They were just like, God, I want to know you. I know prayer's the answer. And so being a guy who really loves, I love prayer. My prayer time's changed so much over the years, man. It's just become fun. Like, if I couldn't pray every day like I do, like, I'd probably have a bad day, because I just love it that much. It's really changed. It's not a begrudging thing anymore. I used to pray thinking, oh, God, I got to do it again. But anyway, I was in this house, and because it's a museum now, and it's free. You can go to it for free if you're ever in California. But I saw a house possessed by prayer. Like, when you walked in the door, there are no words to describe it. I mean, I've tried to explain it to people. I saw a guy walk in, go to the corner in the left bedroom, and he cried the entire 45 minutes we were in there. He sat there and cried with his face planted in the corner standing up. And so, but see, I also know stories of guys like Smith Wigglesworth, who he wouldn't even let a newspaper in his house. He says, I don't let lies in my house. David Hogan right now, they say you can hear angels singing in his house. Now, David Hogan's a man of prayer, but he won't even let a Starbucks emblem in his house. These are men of prayer. Their houses, the physical house, is just possessed by prayer. I don't know how else to say it. There's a glory there. There's a tangible presence. There's just the atmosphere inside the house is different than what's out on the street. And even at the Bonnie Bray House, the history will tell you that people would walk by the house and fall out in the spirit, just walking by the house. There was such a glory brought in because these people tapped into something called prayer. And those prayers were not, okay, God, we're praying for revival. Oh, God, we're praying for another great move so we can make history. They weren't praying for those things. They were praying because they were communing with God daily, wanting to hear His voice, wanting to know what His heart's desire is. Like you said, talking to Him like a father. Just, I can remember before my dad passed away, just enjoying the times of being able to just sit down and talk to my dad, knowing he was real sick, just enjoying those moments. And that's what we've got to get to with God, that He's not a taskmaster and He's not going to keep pointing out everything we're doing bad. If you keep talking to Him like a father, like you said, He's a good father. And if you talk to a good father, you're going to start acting like a good father. But if you don't talk to a good father and you start talking to all these crazy people on the street, well, you're going to start acting like crazy people on the street. You were nailing it right on the head. And I think we've got to understand why prayer is a necessity. And it's not because God requires it of us. It's because it's how we talk to Him every day. Why would we not want to talk to God every day? And those, you know, that comes into fleshy issues and different things like that. And I even tell people who say, man, it's just a struggle for me. I was like, man, just struggle until it becomes not a struggle. Because I had to struggle too. But you'll learn in the place of prayer how important it is to talk with the Father and hear His voice every day and just enjoy Him talking to you.
That's awesome. I really know that you know, like you were saying earlier about knowing the Lord and knowing how He is by your relationship with Him, how you can judge things on TV and religious things and know whether it's true or not, what they're saying, because you know Him and you know how He is and you know what they're saying is false or true. So it's having a knowing of Him, and prayer is a big time. When you connect with Him, you start understanding Him. And I know some things with my own. I got a unique prayer life. It's like all day long I'm talking to Him because I have nobody else to talk to when I'm at work, so I talk to God. But anyway, it's like I remember one time I was communing with the Lord, and I'm not saying, I mean, mentally I was there. I was seeing the Lord. I was there with Him, and I was just awestruck about the peace upon Him. It's like one thing I can explain how it was when the Lord was, well, how I saw the Lord was in front of me. It was as an innocent child, and as a pureness, as an innocent child. And when He was there, it's like it was innocence and it was pure, and there was no spot there at all. No spot there at all in Him. And if you look at a regular person, you could see thousands, but with Him, it was like none. It was like you was looking at the pure, holy Son of God. You knew it. It wasn't no, well, let me think of it. You knew it. You knew it when you saw it. You experienced it. And when you're in His presence, you experience the power, too. I mean, it depends on what He wants you to experience at that time. But he reveals Himself through different ways, how He wants you to see Him. So I saw the holiness and the pureness, and I was just at all about his pureness. And when you have that time with the Lord, He reveals different things to you. He reveals His power, what all He does. It's just certain things He reveals to you, but you got to have that communication with Him. You got to understand Him. You got to look in the Word and know what He's talking about and understand the Word. There's a lot of, now we're going to get back, we're going to start getting into the Word here now, because I think that's the third one, is reading the Word of God. When a lot of people read the Word of God, they don't really understand it. They just run with it. They don't understand the covenants. They don't understand where this happened. You know, God is the same today and tomorrow, but He set it up in different covenants and where things were. And when we go into, I'll say, Pharisaic-like life and living in like the old covenant stuff, and people get those mixed up so much that they live in like a paranoid state 24/7. Can you touch on that, Chuck?
Yeah, man, it's, you know, it's hard to read the Bible and understand why Bible reading is important, because all you really find in the Bible is what, you know, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Torah or the Law. And so, you know, Jesus would tell them all the time, you stay in the Law or you know in the Law. And those are the books he was talking about. The reason I'm so keen on daily Bible reading every day is because in Ephesians 5, when Paul started talking about the marriage covenant between a man and a woman, it says that the husband washes the wife with the water of the Word. And now, if you're going to talk about relationship and stuff like that, you know, it's in Revelation and it's in John 1 how we know Jesus is the Word. Because I remember praying and going, Jesus, I want to know you more. Jesus, I want to know you more. And then it was like the Spirit told me, well, then read the Gospels every day. Because that's Jesus. That's everything we had to know about Jesus that He laid out. He wanted us to know about Him. So in my daily Bible reading, that's what I do. I read so many chapters out of the Gospels every day. Every day I go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then I start over Matthew, Mark. And you really learn the character of Jesus, which will show you the character of God, because He and the Father are one. So when it comes to the Bible, I always call it a plumb line. If you know anything about construction, a plumb line is a piece of metal on the end of a string that will hang straight no matter what angle you're at. It will show you a straight line up and down. And so that's how they build buildings back in the day, were plumb lines. And so that the building would be straight and square. And so when you're building a foundation, you have to have a plumb line. Our plumb line is the Word of God. It's what He gave us, the Bible. It's what he gave us to put in our hands where we can know God's character in the Old Testament, Jesus' character in the New Testament, the disciples' lifestyle when you get into Acts and all the epistles that Paul wrote. So he laid out, and listen, I could go into deep things where I can show you stuff in the Bible that's just like impossible, and it freaks scientists out and they don't understand it, but we don't have time for that. But anyway, it's the plumb line. Whatever you're hearing in prayer, especially if you're a prophetic person, things that you hear in prayer, things that you think you're hearing, things that people say on TV, or things that preachers preach from pulpits, or things people try to, people who get on the radio and try to teach you stuff. I mean, let's just be honest. What people say has to line up with what God has already said. So it becomes what we have to measure everything against that we think we're hearing. If we get a prophecy from somebody, if we hear a message and it just don't register in our spirit, we have to line things up to the scripture. And so it amazes me. I'll say this and then I'll let you say something else. But it amazes me the conversations I get in with people who want to try to argue with me about doctrine or something they've heard a preacher say or something they've learned in their church or through their denomination, and they are not people who read the Bible. They know barely enough scripture. They don't even know how many books are in the Bible. They don't know that there's an Old Testament or a New Testament. They have no clue what the Torah is or what the law is. They don't know what the Gospels are. They have no barometer or measuring scale for what the Bible is, but they want to argue about biblical points. I mean, you know, that stuff aggravates me. That stuff gets on my nerves. So I believe we're failing in the things that we're failing in. We're failing because we really just don't know the Word of God. And that's God's character. We were just talking about prayer. If you hear something in prayer and it don't line up with the Word of God, well, the Bible says even if an angel brings you a different gospel, you got to know the gospel to know that it's a different gospel. So, yeah, I think that's why I believe there's these three keys that the Bible reading has to be one of those keys. It's because we learn about God. We learn about Jesus. We learn how to live as Christians, you know?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. You got to know the word. You got to know the Gospels of Christ to know what He talked about. You've got to know, you know, how He taught, what He thought about different things, His ideas. It gives you an idea of Christ and His attitude about things and what He thought about things and how He treated people. I mean, we've got to walk the way He is, and if we never saw it or never read about it, we won't have no idea. We won't have a clue. So you got to have an idea about your Lord and Savior, and that is the best way to go and get that. As he's talking about, read the Gospels. The Gospels, the more you read them, the more they would get inside of you. And there's some of us that's lucky enough that has been taught the Gospels ever since we was children, and there's some of us that never did know them. And it's really got to, you know, have it poured in us. But it's good to get in the Gospels and just learn his lifestyle, learn what he did, learn what he thought about things. And, you know, Jesus himself, in the Word, he really loved people, but he really loved his Father. And he really knew his Father. And he knew the Word of God in those days. He knew what was written on the tablets, and he went through, I'm sure he went through all the Jewish traditions, and he learned what Moses said, and, you know, he knew the Word. I mean, when he's up on the temple and the devil was tempting him, you know, he's, you know, speaking scripture there, you know, and he was telling the enemy what the scripture said, and just telling him, hey, do not tempt the Lord thy God. And that was all scripture there. And he really knew a lot of it. And he was even teaching in the temples when he was a child. So, you know, he knew the Word. He knew the Word of those days. They didn't have a Bible. They just had, you know, the writings of the prophets from back in the day. But he knew them. He knew what they said. They was in his being. He understood them. And as the Lord did, we need to, as the same as he did, he knew through the scriptures. We need to know our scriptures. We need to know the gospel. We need to know what the Lord said, how he taught. The words that came out of his mouth is what feeds our soul. And actually, the words of God feeds your soul. You know, that's one of the biggest things. We need the word of God to feed our soul. If you're moving in any anointing or anything, when you read the word of God, you can feel it in your being. You can feel it changing you. You can feel it feeding you. And I saw a picture on Facebook the other day saying, this is me. It's showing a zombie there without the word of God in me. It showed the person dying because he ain't had the word in him. And that's how we are as Christians. If we don't have the word in us, we're slowly slipping away. But you need to get that word in you. You need to get it into your being and read the gospel. It's very important. And, you know, the person that you love, the Lord that you love, you want to know him. You want to know him better. You want to know the groom. So, you know, it's all there. You want to understand him more, understand how to walk your Christian life. If you never read the word of God, you don't know how to be a Christian. It shows you. It teaches you. It teaches your steps. Paul teaches you in the Old Testament about your experiences as a Christian, his experiences as a Christian, his downfalls and the things that he's achieved and things that you can achieve. And he helps you on your walk. He's kind of like your rooting guy. It's rooting for you. It's trying to help you on your walk when he's speaking, when he's writing these letters to the churches. And he's, you know, trying to help these churches that he helped create and start. He's helping these churches that he has one that's fallen. He has the other one that's doing great. And, you know, he's writing all these letters, the Ephesians and all these different churches. And he's writing them letters trying to support them, trying to help them. But these letters is not only helping these churches. These letters is helping the Christians themselves. They're helping you and helping you on your walk. As he's writing to these churches, he's writing to us. To teach us how to walk in the Lord Jesus, because he's kind of like us. He knew of Jesus when he walked, but he met him, you know, on that day when the Lord showed himself, but he didn't really know him when he was walking around, and he wasn't resurrected yet. I don't think he knew him then, but when he did resurrect and he revealed himself to Paul or Saul at the time, he did know him then, but he had to walk this thing out on his own, finally. Even the disciples didn't really want to talk to him a whole lot because they were scared of him. So he kind of had to walk this thing out. So as he is walking this thing out, he writes what is going on in his life. And for us that has really never saw Jesus living on this earth, it helps us too because we recognize what he went through. And he kind of guides you on this journey. And it's awesome to just read, you know, Ephesians and all. You know, all these different books that he has in there to really teach you on your walk. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, man, I love what Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees one day. He said, you search the scriptures because you think they contain eternal life, but they speak of me. And so Jesus in that statement just admitted all the way out through the Old Testament and everything in the New Testament's about him. So I like how... I think I'm quoting David Hogan a lot tonight, but I think it was him that said, you can flip the Bible open to any page and it'll work. You know, and it's just that simple. We've got to have the Word of God in us. And we were talking before the show, you were talking about how easy it is to get online right now. You can find 50 translations. You can go to Bible.cc or Bible.com and you can get all kinds of translations. You can get audio Bibles. You can download the apps on your phone. You can go buy the actual books. There are so many ways to get the Word of God right now, and we have to start growing as a people where we live inside the Bible and what the Bible's saying and what the Bible's doing. Because, there's been a few times I've watched some things that were on TV, you know, these new shows, these new Bible shows or whatever, and after about 10 or 15 minutes of watching them, I'm like, it's nowhere near what the Bible says. It's got the characters. And it's got this cool little funny punchline or storyline that it's got going on, but nowhere near accurate biblically. And most people don't even realize that. You know, so it's just, we got to be people who get in the Word, because Jesus was a man of the Word. Jesus quotes Scripture faster than you can think about it. I mean, the first thing he did when he started his ministry is went into the temple and opened Isaiah and said, "This Scripture I just read is fulfilled in front of you today. I'm here." So he knew the Scripture. He knew which Scriptures were talking about him, and that's because he had to live in a place where, well, I knew it was Jesus. He was the Word, so... You know, he knew the verses, he knew the Scriptures. I mean, even when he was on the cross, the things that were happening on the cross, the Bible say this was done so that certain Scripture would be fulfilled. And a lot of those are out in Psalms, the poetic books, you know. And I would just like to challenge people and push people just to be able to navigate around the Bible, you know, to know what's Old Testament, what's New Testament, to know what's law and what's prophetic books, and to become a person who can kind of feel your way and know where it's at in the Bible and kind of figure out where the books are and who wrote the books and why they wrote the books. You know, a lot of Bible history is out there. You can learn that stuff online. I mean, a lot of stuff that I know, I learned off the line. I don't have a degree. I've never been to a seminary or a Bible college or any of that stuff. I just got hungry for God, and so I decided I'd figure out how to find him in the Scriptures. It was a good thing. And like I say, going back to it, I know we're about out of time, but this is really what God was showing me in Belize. We've got to start becoming people who are people of prayer, people of reading the Bible, and people who fast on a consistent basis, a lifestyle of fasting. And I'm not talking about doing these crazy fasts where people are fasting 40 days, taking 2 days off and fasting 40 days again. I mean, God, let you do that, go for it. But, you know, but just to get into some kind of lifestyle where we're hearing from God, we're learning God's character, we know what Jesus is really about. Because we got fly-by-night prophets and preachers, and we got people just preaching some stuff that's not lining up with the Word of God, not lining up with the character of God. And we learn a lot of that in the Bible.
Amen. That's awesome. And, you know, as you was talking about, you know, back in Jesus' time, they didn't carry the Bible with them. They didn't have papers. Nor, a lot of times, the written Word of God was kept in the temples, and it didn't leave the temples. And they had to memorize what they had. Everything that they had, it wasn't like they would carry their Bible to the temple. You know, the scrolls was in the temple, and it was actually, you know, opened up by the priest, and then it was rolled back up and put up, and nobody else could touch it except for the priest. So whatever you heard, you had to memorize. And whatever you was in, you know, in your school, you had to memorize. Christ had to basically memorize everything. It had to be in mind, because at that time they didn't have it on paper. They only had it on paper in the temple. So you had to have it memorized. That's one of the reasons why you all hear them quote them real quick, because they had to memorize. That's the only way they could get them. And we're lucky today. We don't have to have that. We actually have the Bible we can carry with us. So we can pick it up and read it anytime you want. You can go online. There is no excuse for nobody to not know the Word of God nowadays, because we got Holy Spirit, we got Internet, and we have the Bible. So, you know, you've got all these ways here, and he's living in you, and he's going to draw you to that Word. So, you know, if you want to have it download on your iPhone, download. If you want to buy the actual book itself, go to your Bible local book. Get tongue-tied there, your local bookstore, and get the Word of God. And, you know, it will help you. It will feed your soul. It will transform your mind, and you will know more about Christ. And I want to thank everybody for listening to us today. And I would like to ask anybody that's not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, well, I'm going to say a prayer. We can do that. Anybody that is looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, say, "Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent for any sins I've done, and I hand it to you and your cross. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I accept that you rose again on the third day for me. Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you in my heart for now and in eternity. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." If you just said this, Lord Jesus has just came into your heart, and you are a brother or a sister in Christ. Welcome to the family. And I'm going to try to squeeze a lot in right here in the last couple of minutes. And if anybody has anything wrong with them, I ask you to put your hand on the issue now, whether it's a leg, arm, chest, wherever the issue is. We're going to pray for you right this minute. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave. I command all infirmity to leave in Yeshua's name. I command all bones, all muscles to be fully repaired and restored. I command all headaches to leave. Command all sinuses to be repaired and restored. I command sinus infection to leave. I command the any colds, anybody has a cold, I command it to leave now in Yeshua's name. I command all sicknesses to leave now in Jesus' holy name. And so it is. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to us tonight. And we will be back next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And we will have a new topic for you. And hope you all enjoyed this show. And check us out on Facebook at The Healing Light Show. And check us out on YouTube. We got Healing Light Show YouTube page. You can see some of our live shows, some of our conferences. And just send us a message if you got healed or if you the Lord has touched you some way with our ministry. And we thank you for listening. And we will talk to you next weekend. God bless.